of my church. Ooh. I want you to move.
Stay.
Out of my neighborhood.
Ooh.
All over the world.
Stay.
I want you to move.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Stay.
Get back, get back, get back, get back out of my way. Satan, you can't stop me. Oh no, I got chills, he's on my side.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
We're talking about repentance. Hebrews 6:1. The Bible says, talks about the foundation of repentance from dead works. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. See, that's the love of God. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, it's not his will for you to perish. His will is for everybody to come to repentance, to have that change. And then in Revelation, Jesus really talked about it. Revelation 2:5, he said, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. In Revelation 2:16, he told the church, repent or else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick. Then he talked about the whore in Revelation. In Revelation 2:21, 22, he says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication and she repented not. In other words, he said, I gave them time to repent. But they still didn't repent. And you can go through those scriptures and you'll find several scriptures that talked about people who refuse to repent. I mean society almost like they got trying to put God in some kind of hammer lock. Got a headlock on him. We say it ought to be like this here. We don't care what you say. Now give in. That's where they got the church in a headlock. Got the church with the arm right there, just putting more pressure on it. It's not time for us to back up. Not time for us to bow to the gods of this age we're living in. You see, those are demon spirits that people worship at those altars in their heart. They're worshiping at the altar of demons. When you hold views and ideas and concepts and philosophies that are contrary to this. Been a lot of talk about Democratic platform, Republican Party platform. Here's my platform. This is the platform I stand on. Platform means something you stand on. What you're taking a stand on. This is what I stand on. The Word of God is my platform. This is the platform of the church. Everybody say the church got his own platform. We got our own platform. It is the Word of God. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Oh, Jesus said, you say God love you? He rebuke you yet? Did he chasten you yet? Did he tell you to repent yet? Well, no, he ain't told me to repent. Do you show he love you? Or you close your ears? Didn't he say it? This right out of the master's mouth. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's what it says. Then Revelation 9, 20, 21 talks about men who did not repent of their works. They worship devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, who can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither did they repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. You got to repent. Now, you say, Pastor Greg, what happens? Now, this is not a message of condemnation, because the Lord told me to minister this word with compassion. This message has to be given with compassion, because there are people that don't know they've been deceived. So you just can't come down hard on people, but you do have to give them the truth, just like the Lord give us the truth. You know, sometimes rebuke is necessary. Sometimes chastisement is necessary. But it always has to be done in love, because Jesus always deal with us in the spirit of meekness and love. Amen? How many of you know love sometimes is tough, though? How many of you know love is tough? So what do I do? After you repent and believe the gospel, what happens after a person receives Christ? After one has repented and received Christ as his Lord, the Holy Spirit will begin a work of sanctification and create in us the desire and the power to please God. So our primary motivation, if we say we're Christians, one of the primary motivations that you ought to have, if you say you are a believer, should be the desire to please God. Everybody say desire.
Desire.
To please God.
Please God.
See, Jesus said, the Father have not left me alone. The Father is with me. I have his presence. But I always do those things that please him. You see Jesus' motivation? He says, I only do what pleases him. So if I'm doing something that's not pleasing to him, then I need to be willing to change. I need to find out what's acceptable to him, and then I make that my goal in life, is to live a life that's pleasing to him. Let me give you some scriptures on it, because that's where God wants you to be today. He wants you to check your heart out and see if you really have a strong desire on the inside to please God. Amen. John 8, 29, that's the scripture. He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always. Everybody say always.
Always.
I do always those things that please him. Now, Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The New Living Translation says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So if you say God is working in you and you're a Christian, then there ought to be some desire in you produced by the Holy Ghost that cause you to want to please God. That when you mess up, when you sin, you say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I shouldn't have done that. I repent. I changed my mind about being involved in this type of stuff. I quit it in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, give me the power to say no. And we know, we found out last week, God's faithful to do what? To always make a way of what? Escape out of what? Every temptation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So Jesus, he is the example of how we should live our life. He is the pattern. Every believer should judge his words and his actions by the word of God, whether they are pleasing to God. We are to shine as lights, true sons of God, in the midst of the Bible says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, holding forth the word of life. You see, the Bible says we are to shine as true sons and daughters of God. And we shine holding forth the word of life. I'm supposed to be holding on to something. What am I supposed to hold on to? The word of life, which is the word of God. It is the word, it is the logos of Zoe. I got the logos of Zoe, the life of God. I've got the word of God's life. Amen. Praise God. We should live to please God, not ourselves. Right? Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. That's repentance. Take up his cross. That's the responsibility. And follow me. That's the plan. Plan is to follow him. Not to follow your own way. Not for you to make up your own rules. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. We speak not as pleasing men, but God who tries our heart. Galatians 1:10 says, do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. Colossians 1:10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. This is the way we're supposed to live. So, you know, I don't always understand why God give me certain things. I just, when he give them to me, my job just speak. My job just tell you what he tell me. Amen. I wanted to preach on something else. I want to talk about the anointing today. We're going to get to the anointing. But ain't, let me tell you, there ain't no anointing without repentance. Yeah. You can quit talking about so-and-so anointed. They ain't repented. They ain't got no anointing. They have a spirit of deception on them, and they're deceiving you. There's no anointing from the Holy Spirit without true repentance. He's not going to empower you. What are you going to empower you to do if you ain't repented? Empower you to sin more? If you haven't repented, that means you have made a decision that you're going to keep living like you're living. You're going to keep on sinning. So what's he going to empower you to do? Praise the Lord. It is a fact that God loves you unconditionally. He loves you even before he sent Jesus. And you can't do anything. Not one thing can you do to stop God from loving you. God loves you. But the fact that God loves you doesn't mean that you can't perish. You can still perish in your sin. Jesus told those Pharisees, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And Jesus came that we wouldn't perish, but that we would have everlasting life. I just thank God today for the truth. And today I want you to know that God loves you. And he desires to minister to you.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in the highest.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you. Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to tell you about my book titled, Jesus Did It For You. I'm excited about this book because it focuses on the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Everything Jesus did, he did for our benefit. So many have only a limited knowledge of what belongs to them because of the price Jesus paid for our redemption. He became sin so we could be made righteous. He became poor so we could be made rich. He was beaten so we could be healed and walk in health. He carried our sorrows so we could have fullness of joy. This is just a glimpse of what you'll find in Jesus Did It For You.